27. I want to express to the church my thanks and appreciation to you for allowing me to serve in this capacity and the way you've blessed us and been so good to us and our family. I just thank God for you. Mark's Gospel. As we know, this is a passage of scriptures right after Jesus had celebrated or commemorated what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And there we see the very trying hours of his life. And when I say the trying hours of his life, I say this because I believe this is where he yielded himself to the will of the Father and what was to lie ahead, because of his prayer here, because of what transpired as he recognized what it meant to surrender to the will of the Father. And in this process, we see those who reacted in different ways. So this morning, so many times, if we're not careful, we're like Peter in this passage of Scripture this morning. We find ourselves in the valley of despair and despondency, and we have to look very close at it, because see, the path that we chose is a path that leads us downward. And this is exactly what happened when we reached the low ebb of life. Sometimes we feel like we're so down in the dumps that we can sit on the edge of a sheet of paper and dangle our feet. But whenever we get that way, we need to recognize that Jesus is the way up and the way for help. This morning, as we look at this passage, there are several things that we can see in Peter's life. So will you stand before the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer? I'm not going to read all. I'm going to read down through verse 41, but we'll allude to some of the others as well. It says in verse 27 of Mark 14, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he said the more vehemently or mad, he says, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also they said they all. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. The term there means winepress. And he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and begin to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and find them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. But he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we come with grateful hearts, grateful for the privilege and the opportunity of worship. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together in such a place as this for this purpose, and that is to worship you, and we pray that it will be in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for all that you make possible in our lives. We thank you for the songs that we're able to sing that blesses our heart and speaks to our heart in our life. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that's been uttered. We look to you, Lord, for what you're going to say to us out of your word. We ask, oh God, that our lives would be open to you, that our hearts would be accessible to you, that you could speak to us and relate to us your will for our lives. Help us to recognize and understand what it means to follow you with our very lives. Oh, Father, today would you do that which only you can. Even now we ask it. We pray, oh, Father, there's one here that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, that this may be the day that you speak to that heart and they say yes to you. We pray, Lord, if there's one here that is out of sort and out of the right relationship with you, Father, we pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to bring them back into that unique relationship you have for them. And I pray, Father, whatever decision needs to be made here today, however, Lord, you speak to our hearts, may we look to you and trust you and turn to you and help us always to be more of what you'd have us to be and less of ourselves. I pray today, God, above everything else, that you would conform us to the very image of your Son, that we may be able to pray even as John prayed, Lord, he must increase and I must decrease. Father, have your redemptive will accomplished is our prayer in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his glory, amen. As we look together in this passage of Scripture, we see Peter's marked path of falling. When I say it's a marked path, it is not something that Peter found himself there, away from the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the relationship that he should have been in. And we see that it's a path that's a downward spiral, and it starts with some of our own thinking and the way that we handle things and the way that we do things. And let me tell you something. If we're not very careful, we don't recognize this, we can find ourselves away from that unique relationship that God has for us in the tightness of that fellowship that we should have with him. If we're not careful, we will allow things to drive us there. And the very first step to this is his own self-confidence. Look with me there in verse 29 again. It says, "Then Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Yet will not I. Turn to Proverbs 16 just a moment. Proverbs 16, you probably know that passage of Scripture by heart, but it says something like this. Proverbs 16:18 says this, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Did you get that? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But look what it says in verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. If you'll read through the book of Proverbs, you'll find that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about pride. And here Simon Peter is speaking from his own, his own strength or his own capability, he thinks. And you know, Simon Peter's a good example of many of us, because if you look around Simon Peter's mouth, you'll see some shoe polish, because he is very good at putting his foot in his mouth. And many times, if we're not careful, we do exactly the same thing. But here we see that what it shows, it only shows a lack of faith in what he's supposed to be about and what he's supposed to be doing. And let me tell you, that lack of faith leads to spiritual bankruptcy in a person's life. When we think we can live the Christian life, when we think we can do what God wants us to do in our own strength, let me tell you something, we're headed in the wrong direction. The wrong direction. I could call to example a young man in the church, a pastor. He was a very, very, very proficient farmer for years. And the thing about it was, God got to dealing with him about some areas and some issues. And the thing about it was, he would not respond. He did not do what God wanted him. And you know what he told me after he had to file bankruptcy? He says, "Before I had to file bankruptcy, I found myself spiritually bankrupt." Why? Why? Because of his disobedience to the will and the purpose of God, not allowing God to be the Lord of his life and the Lord of his whole operation, his whole business. Let me tell you something. If you own a business and God is not the center of that business, you have not committed that business to God, you're headed in the wrong direction, just like Peter was. There was a self-confidence. Let me tell you something, though. Self-confidence leads on to proud boasting. That's exactly what happened in his life. In verse 31, look at it with me. "And he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." So what Peter says, and we need to realize, Peter was kind They all agreed with Peter. But I got news for you, folks. When the water gets hot, they all flee. Just like rats leaving a sinking ship, they all left Jesus in the peril of his life. And as we look at this, what caused that? What caused that? Kind of like the rich man in Luke 12. Turn there just a moment. Luke chapter 12. If you look very close at this man's life, Jesus gives the parable of this. Because he was asked to divide the living, and he's given example, parable. In Luke 12, starting in verse 16, yes it is. He says, and he spake a parable unto saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Well, that's good. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there I will bestow my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But that's not the end of the story. If you look at his conversation, his speech here, it contains 63 words. 11 of those words was I, me, and my. 1/6 of his speech was I, me, and my. What I am going to do. But look in verse 20, it says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, when he died, he left it all. Let me tell you something. You can accumulate all you want. Accumulate as much as you want, but let me tell you something. When death comes, you're not going to carry it with you. And Brother Knopp used to say, if you could carry it with you, it'd burn. You'll catch that directly. The rich man, his conversation, his whole philosophy of his life is what I can do. See what happened? It's not a sin to be rich, but he had left God out of the whole picture. And when you leave God out, folks, you're headed in the wrong direction, the wrong direction. James 4:15 has admonished us the right way. It says, I will go and I'll do this and I'll do that if it's God's will. James used the right perspective there, because he put into the equation the will and the purpose of God. And let me tell you something, in all of our activities, in all the ventures of our life, if God is not figured into it, we're headed in the wrong direction, because it brings proud boasting. But then there's another thing brought out of this too. This here proud boasting leads on to unwatchfulness. 37, look at verse 37. Why do I say that? He says, he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto them, Peter, Simon, couldest, Simon, sleep, sleep. Let me start over. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Look what he said in verse 34. He told him there in the last part, he says, tarry ye here and watch. So what Jesus does in this is he gives them, I guess you would call it like an exercise to kind of keep them awake. The instructions go unheeded there in verse 34 by the master's own mouth. But look at the exercise he gives them in verse 38. He says, not only now to watch ye, but to do what also? Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why did Jesus say that? The exercise Jesus added to that was for them to watch, but not only to watch, but to pray. They failed on the watching part. You understand? So what Jesus asked them to do is now not only to watch, but also to pray. Let me ask you a question. How many has ever fell asleep praying? Now, some of you are lying. If you pray, sometimes when you're tired, you will fall asleep. And here, Jesus comes back and he finds. But their unwatchfulness, and unwatchfulness in our praying and our watching what God asks us to watch, being obedient to what he would have us to do, brings on cowardliness. Cowardliness. Look in verse 50 through 54. I'm not going to read all that, but that's what it says. And they forsook. They all forsook him and fled, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth about him. I'm reading in the wrong place. No, I'm not. And it says on the linen cloth, and then it says, that he wound himself with them. What do you sing most by your actions? What do you sing most by your actions? Down at the cross or on a hill far away? See, there's a difference. Down at the cross or on a hill far away? Look in the 15th chapter of this book, Mark's Gospel. 15th chapter, verse 40. This is after when Jesus was being put to death. Starting verse 39 there of chapter 15, it says, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.' There were also women looking on," where? I didn't hear you. Where? "Afar off, among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Josie and Salome." Turn also with me to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 23rd chapter, excuse me. Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 49. So look in verse 40, it would start there. It says, "And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things." Cowardliness. Which do your life depict more, down at the cross or on a hill far away? See, following Jesus closely will lead us. We sang that song, sung it last Sunday, I believe. "Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss." If we walk with Jesus, and I believe Jesus time and time again led and showed us an example of bearing and carrying the cross. And that's exactly what's happening in this passage, in this scripture, where he comes to recognize what it's going to take, what it's going to cost for him to give his life as a ransom for you and for me, so that we can know and have what it means to know salvation and to have a right relationship with Almighty God. We see here their cowardliness as they looked afar off, and as Peter here drew himself with those, and it led to ungodly company in verse 54, the last part. Look at it with me. It says, look in verse 54, it says, "And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Cowardliness leads to ungodly company. He sat with the servants of those who were seeking to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. See, association with these shows something that's not right. Shows his sliding, his falling away. It shows a weakness in his life. What a terrible condemnation. What a terrible condemnation to be sitting with the servants of those who are against and opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, folks, so many times we associate ourselves with those who are in opposition and against everything that is godly. Turn to Psalms 1 just a moment. That come to my mind as we look. It gives us kind of a recipe there. You probably know that passage by heart as well. It says, "Blessed," the term blessed is hesed or happy. "Happy or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." But then he gives the ungodly Verse 5 and 4 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand. I mean, it says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall, it doesn't say might, it says shall perish. Ungodly company. What a terrible condemnation to some today who sit with the servants of Satan only to be warmed by the fire. Only to be warmed by the fire. Ungodly company is not the end of it. Ungodly company brings one to the point of denying the Lord. Look in verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out on the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say unto them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little farther, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak. Forced by sitting with ungodly company. Forced to turn his back on the Lord. See, placing approval on what was done and not doing anything about it, not saying anything, that is what we call denying someone or denying the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. He was denying him. Jesus told him that he would. Peter swore that he would not. He gave his life declaration that he would stand true, he would be there. But we see in the end, he did not know what he was talking about. He did not understand what he was saying. And you know, many times, if we're not careful, we can make the same declaration. The Bible says for the man to take heed what he says or what he says he's going to do unless he falls. And that's exactly what happened to Simon Peter as his path fell downward as he fell into the hands and the clutches of those around him. But there's something else in this passage that's very important. Denying the Lord will always bring about weeping. Look in verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went and thought thereon and wept. Let me tell you something, folks. Sin brings about sorrow. There's no other way to put it. Sin is the culprit of sorrow. And it causes one to be sorrowful because they recognize the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that when Peter recognized this, as he saw the Lord and thought about the Lord and what he was saying, he saw the very look of love that the Lord had for him. And he recognized here in that weeping process that it's very sorrowful. Some people say you sow what you reap. No, that's not the way it goes. The Bible says you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. It says if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. That's what the scripture says. And there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, that has the wrong philosophy about that because they're looking for something different. They're saying and hoping and praying that. But it says not only we reap what we sow, we also are going to recognize that it's like a crop. It's later, it's more, and it's something time more serious. But let me tell you, according to the text, denying the Lord brings about sorrow. Being in opposition to the will and purpose of God brings about sorrow. So many think that they can sow all kinds of seed and wickedness and then pray for a crop failure. But let me tell you, the scripture does not teach that. It does not teach that. The scripture says that we need to recognize that that which we sow, we will reap. Here Jesus, facing the most trying and the most difficult period in his whole life. And then those closest friends of his fell asleep on the job. What about you? You know the most serious thing in all the world? The most serious thing in all the world is when and if we get serious with God. Do you hear me? When and if we get serious with God. We can boast about what we're going to do. We can brag about what we're going to do. But I realize in my own life that many times if I'm not careful, and I'll guarantee you if you're not careful, because of the influence of Satan and the world today, that we'll find ourselves falling away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question today for each and every one of us, are you closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday or last week or last month? I believe that the Christian experience is a growing experience. I'm talking about where we grow closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and we come to recognize more and more about Him. And that's what He said to Peter. He says to him one time, He says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He was not talking about Peter's salvation, but what he was saying in the term converted there, when you get to know more about me and less about you and what I can do to take care of you, then strengthen the brethren. What Jesus was saying, Peter, when you come to recognize and understand that I must be the one who directs your life, who leads your life, who is Lord of your life, and then you can help others along the way. And you cannot help anyone else until you do. And that's the same way with us, folks. You cannot help someone if your life is not where it ought to be with God, period. And that's exactly what he's saying. So this morning, as we look at this passage, where are you? Where are you? You might find yourself somewhere along this way. But I pray this morning that through the power of God's Holy Spirit, He will bring the conviction that's needed, that we can turn to Him and we can trust Him and we can recognize exactly what He wants in our life. You may be here today and you've never trusted Jesus. You've never put your faith and trust in Him, the one that can save you. I would beg you, if necessary, to do that. Just simply recognize that you cannot save yourself, that Jesus came into this world and He died on a cruel cross so that you and I could know and have a right relationship with Almighty God. And because of that, He made possible for you to know and to have that relationship when you invite Him into the confines of your heart, recognizing you're a sinner, realizing you cannot save yourself, realizing that Jesus died for your sin, and you accept Him as Lord of your life. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about when you trust Him with your whole life. This morning, as we look at this passage, I don't know how God may have spoke to your heart. I don't even know why God moved me to preach this message, but I know it's for a purpose and a reason for someone today. So today, where are you with the Lord? Are you closer today than you've ever been? I got news for you. He wants you to be not standing and looking somewhere far off and far away, but He wants you to be drawn close to Him because He's the one that said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me. And you know what? He don't call us to be bloodhounds. To follow a trail that's way off. That means for us to be right there near and dear to Him and to be listening and looking to what He has for us. I pray that we'll do that. Let's pray together. Father, today we thank You and praise You for the greatness of Your love. A love that goes beyond the limits of anything this world has or mankind has. It's a love that reaches down and finds us just exactly where we are. And transplants us, transfers us to the realm of God in the full relationship that we should be in. I pray, Father, today if there's one here that needs to come in a commitment to You or a recommitment to You, that this would be today that they would make things right. They would say yes to You as Lord and Savior of their life. We pray that You'll have Your will accomplished. You'll be glorified in everything today, for we ask it in Jesus' strong name and for His glory. Amen. Hymn of invitation.